Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, it's the Inside Slant.
Welcome to the Asylum. We're Figger and Briggs, and we're glad to have you. Get your lineup questions in, AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
Also on Twitter, @AsylumFootball.
Yes, we are here live, 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time to 11:30 to get your lineup set.
Way too early. And don't forget, you can hear us on the Real Fan Sports Network at rfsportsnetwork.com.
And then we're heading into week three, Rick.
Week three.
It has been a strange season so far.
I think I'm over it. I really think I am. I think I'm just past the whole thing.
What, you don't want to watch football anymore?
I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to watch 15 wide receivers catch for 200 yards and no running backs do anything. And the Steelers stink. And I got to go down there in that mess today.
Well, okay. I guess this is Rick Briggs of the Asylum. Rick Briggs just quit.
So. I'll be over. Hold on.
Yeah, there we go. Thank God. Now I can get something straight here. No, we're going to, before we get started, let's mention a little thing here. If you have not checked out the Fantasy Greek Skybox subscription, all you casual listeners out there, go ahead and give it a look. For $12 a year, you can look at, you can get into a members only section and a lot of things that you can get off the site that you can't just looking at it for free. And a lot of worthwhile information. A lot of good stuff like fantasy points allowed offense, fantasy points allowed defenses, coaches' decisions on the pines, on the gridiron, first look, start, and sits. Just a lot of stuff that you can really get there. Just get on there, www.thefantasygreek.com.
And no doubt about it, get yourself an advantage. Use the Asylum, use the Fantasy Greek, and dominate your leagues. If I'm a little out here, Rick, after that last declaration, I'm setting my Star Fantasy Leagues lineup for the week. So I was a little remiss in doing that. So
well,
I'm
that's
go
okay.
Ahead
I'm glad you brought that. You go set that up. And for all the listeners, Seth Young from Star Fantasy will not be on today. He is under the weather, says he sounds like a frog, has no voice, and he's not going to be able to make it.
Yeah, there's something going around, and I hope I don't get it. And bring
stay
it
up
into
there,
studio.
As far as
yeah,
I'm concerned,
keep
in Rochester.
All right, Rick, well, ever forward, we have always self-evaluating.
Ever forward, we're not done yet.
Oh,
we still
have
Scott Fish coming on with the machine later.
The
well,
machine
people
will
need
be here.
To know that. And
so
just
those...
to let you know, Scott and I
outperformed
Flieger and the Machine last week.
Really?
By one.
By one.
So. Yes, we did.
I just like it that I'm on par with the Machine. I like that. You and Scott can keep going outside of you. Like, so Scott will be in at 11
That's
o'clock,
right. See,
I presume?
Scott and I, yes. Scott and I are not ducks. We have our own minds, and by God, we're going after what we think.
Do ducks not have their own mind?
You know, they just follow the leader.
Do they?
Well, sure.
Well, I'm thinking of geese who do the V thing, right? Those
That's when
ducks.
They fly, yeah. Ducks, I don't know if they do or not.
Is there a difference between ducks and geese? Like, I know they're different, but don't they do the same crap?
Not really.
Geese are mean as hell, I know that.
Yeah, but geese just eat grass.
And it's crap
and
everywhere.
And crap everywhere.
You know, you were a golf course
ducks
superintendent.
Ducks actually eat little critters.
So
I mean,
you know
they
all,
eat bugs and all that. You know, I got attacked by a goose.
They're nasty.
Through the window of my truck one day on the golf course. I am not lying. We were, I have had a, you know, golf course pickup truck when I was a superintendent. And a lot of times we go around in the mornings, just check out to get the schedule straight, what we need to get done and check the irrigation system and so forth. And we always had the problem of geese nesting on the lakes on the golf course. Well, I was sitting there one day. We were driving down. It was actually hole number 7 going backwards on it. And my assistant was beside me. We were sitting there with cups of coffee, and we were driving down. And we were just looking to the right, and there was a pond to the left.
Okay.
And we were looking to the right because there was actually a tree had come down, and we were going to cut it up that day. And he started saying something, and the next thing I knew, this thing bit
this
me on the cheek.
Bit
me on the cheek. And the wings was flapping at me. My coffee went flying all over my assistant. And it was hot coffee, too. And I had this big welt on my cheek. And I actually got my hand around its neck.
So you're choking.
Oh yeah, choking. I was going to kill it, and but I was still driving, so I didn't have a real good hold. And yeah, you know, long story short, he hit me with his wings, and I let him go, and he took off flying, and I had a big welt in my cheek, and I did not like that goose.
That's fantastic. Well, I don't like any geese, but I think you win in terms of the goose. So anyhow, Rick, ever forward on the show. Always evolving, a little self-reflection. Rick, I think we both agreed that the Around the League segment was just boring. So we're going to switch it up a little bit. We tried to come up with some cutesy names. We didn't have anything. So we're going to treat this first hour of the show since, what I mean, since Star Fantasy League's guy.
Seth Young,
good Lord, I talked to him 1,000 times. Since he can't make it in for the first hour of the show, we're just going to give you some guys to start. Some guys to sit, and some guys to watch, some guys we want to discuss, and guys I think whose names will probably pop up in the question section as well. We really want to hit on that. So, Rick, I'll let you do the honors. Jump right into it. Start wherever you want. Let's just throw some players out there and get this all resolved.
We're going to get started, I think, first with the Kansas City-Philadelphia game.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
Jamaal Charles owners, I am one because he is my guy. You know, very pleased with the 30-point effort in PPR format.
Yeah, if you don't know, I don't think we mentioned it on Tuesday. This is the Civil War is at it again. Rick and I in our main league, the Caveman Fantasy League, facing off. I get 25 points out of my man, LeSean McCoy. I'm feeling good until I see what that jerk Jamaal Charles did. So we've got ourselves an old-fashioned slobber knocker going into today.
Yeah, can't wait for that to get started. But you know, Kansas City took care of Philadelphia, 6 turnovers, probably should have been a lot worse than it was. Obviously, the Kansas City offense sputtered a little bit, but talk about an offense sputtering. How about the Chip Kelly Philadelphia offense?
Yeah, yeah, slow. It looked slow a lot. The turnovers, like you said, it was not what we'd seen the first couple weeks. You wonder how long it could last. I can't imagine they're tired yet. I always worried about them wearing out at the end of the year, but just looked bad outside of LeSean McCoy. Just looked bad on Thursday night.
Yeah, exactly.
Kansas City might be for real, though, Rick. It's impressive. They are a ball-hawking defense. They've got skill players. Alex Smith is sort of in that Carson Palmer mold we talked about. Whoa, and we got all kinds of noise coming out of this thing here. Let's push a button there. But coming out of when we talk about Carson Palmer in Arizona, just getting a legitimate NFL quarterback, Alex Smith, nothing spectacular, nothing for your fantasy team, but has that offense rolling.
That's true. And, you know, Alex Smith, he's never going to be on anybody's list as far as a fantasy quarterback. But I saw an article, I didn't even forget what publication it was, you know, unimpressive Alex Smith leads Chiefs to win. You know, and that could be true. But bear in mind, since 2011, this guy is only 22-5-1 as a starting quarterback. And he's 22-35 at 62% completion rating. He had 273 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Pretty vanilla, a lot of short stuff. I got you there. But, you know, also some nice strikes to Donnie Avery. Mike Vick, on the other hand. 13-30
yeah,
for 201 yards. I mean, you talk about unimpressive. That is very unimpressive.
And that's going to be the frustrating thing about him, Mike Vick. He goes through that. He goes through periods of being inaccurate. He'll go through a couple weeks like he did in week 1 and 2 where he looks like a top 10 quarterback. He's not all that accurate. I don't know enough about the X's and O's, to be honest. You know, I'm going to sit here and pretend I'm an expert to know what kind of defensive scheme works, but there's schemes out there that bottle him up, force him to throw, and he struggles in those games. You know, there's a good question. Donnie Avery, a huge week this week. He's been pretty much, I think, even ahead of Dwayne Bowe, Alex Smith's main target. Is this a guy you start to think about when we get into bye weeks, maybe as a flex spot kind of guy?
Oh, I'm thinking so. Certainly, I mean, you got a starting wide receiver. And this offense, although not putting up, you know, the points and the touchdowns they should right now, they may start clicking together. Let's bear in mind, this is Alex Smith's first year. And I think that they're only going to get better as the season progresses, providing they all stay healthy and together. And there's just a lot of weapons on that team. You got Charles, you got Avery, obviously Dwayne Bowe, McCluster, you know, another little twist there. And But, yeah, getting back to Philadelphia, it's just, you know, LeSean McCoy, another great day, 158 yards and a touchdown. You know, what can you say? I mean, the guy is just getting it done. You would think the passing game would open up a little bit.
You would, and it should. You know, again, they're lacking weapons when, you know, DeSean Jackson, love what I'm doing, had a rough week this week. I think by and large, this guy in this offense is going to be a number one right wide receiver. But he's it. I mean, you have really no outside weapons, no wide receiver. Riley Cooper, after everything that happened, looks to be the number. Jason Avant, just who he is. He's got a big game in him now and again, but he's just Jason Avant.
Leading receiver this last game.
They don't,
5 for 87
and
a touchdown.
They don't have a lot of weapons at that wide receiver position. So.
Well, I think there's a guy right there. Talk about a stasher, Jason Avant. The guy's got good hands. Riley Cooper's not going to take his job. And I mean, if you've got somebody that's injured or you want to dump him and he's available, I think Jason Avant's a great stash guy right there because he's certainly going to have some numbers.
He could be, but I think he's always been on that edge, truthfully.
He's always been on the edge, but Jeremy Maclin's always been there.
That's true. That's true, and you take Maclin out, and maybe he emerges. This offense, I think it's going to go well more than it goes like it did Thursday night, honestly. But Avant, boy, I wouldn't want to, you know, maybe in a pinch, in a flex spot, in a pinch when we get to bye weeks when these injuries keep piling up. But outside of that, not a guy I'm going to spend a lot of time. You know, stash, sure. Why wouldn't you stash him?
Exactly.
Depending on who you have to drop for him.
Well, you know, as you say, as the injuries mount up, you know, there's guys that don't, that's for sure.
No, he looks better and better as they pile up, and it seems it's stunning how often it happens throughout the year. So I have not much more to say about that game. Congratulations, Kansas City. I like when Kansas City's good. I don't know why. I've always had a little soft spot for that Chiefs team. So good for them. We'll keep an eye on that. Tough division, but Denver may be having some competition, although I wonder if that team can keep up with Denver when that time finally comes.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting, to say the least. We will have listen to the show the other day before the Thursday game, and the strong suit of Philadelphia obviously was their offense, and the strong suit of Kansas City was their defense. And, you know, I think the defense won that battle, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, of course, Denver's a whole different animal there.
Yeah,
and I don't think there's any threat of Denver not winning the division, but I think Kansas City is definitely a playoff contender.
Right, starting out 3-0, it's almost hard not to be. All right, Rick, well, let's get into some fantasy football now. We'll do some starts, some sits, and some guys to watch. Dealer's choice, you go ahead and let me know where we're going to start. Hey, in the meantime, we haven't given out the phone number. Give us your calls. We'll take them all throughout it now. And when Scott comes on, 646-478-4679. In the chat room, if you're listening live on Twitter, at asylumfootball@gmail.com. Get those questions in. We'll answer them on the air. All right, Rick, somebody to start, sit, or watch today.
Okay, so I am allowed now to actually come up with a start.
Please, if you would.
Okay, you're done.
Well, we know me better than that, but I'll try.
All right. My first start is going to be, and this is just a lot of guys, a lot of owners never even drafted this guy to start with. But I think right now, Phillip Rivers is a start.
Yeah.
Must start. You're going against Tennessee. I mean, Houston lit them up last week. And, you know, Phillip Rivers is averaging 307 yards a game passing, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick. Get while the getting's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy it. No question about it. Look, we talked a lot about him on Tuesday. There's going to be a game or two or four where he's going to revert back and throw 4 or 5 interceptions. That's who he is. He's not doing it right now. That offense is going good. He's got something big going with Eddie Royal. Everything just seems to be cracking for him. So I agree. This guy wasn't drafted at all. You know, if you're talking people playing their 10th, 11th, 12th quarterback, you're down in the, Eli Manning, Rick, probably is the 12th guy, the last starter on most teams. I think this week and most weeks, I'm going to play right now, while it's going good, I'll play Phillip Rivers over an Eli Manning or something like that. This guy, when he's on, has the capability. You know, he was a top 6-8 guy a couple years ago before it sort of fell off the table. So I agree 100%. I like him, and there's a lot of guys I'd start him over.
Yeah, and like I said, get while the getting's good, because you never know what's going to happen with the Chargers and Phillip Rivers as the year goes on. Hey, this could be a 4,800-yard year for Phillip Rivers, but then again, it could turn into a 3,500 in 2020. So, you know, get while it's good. I don't know. I think he's a must-start right now until he shows me something different.
Yeah, no argument there. So, Rick, my first start of the week, here's a guy, we talked about him in the offseason. He was the reason Ray Rice, at least early in the summer and to the midsummer, dropped in leagues. Look, it's not a good matchup, but if you stash Bernard Pierce, now's your time to shine. It looks for all intents and purposes like Ray Rice will be out this week. Go ahead, get Bernard Pierce in your lineup. Granted, Rick, I might be saying that so I can do an I told you so thing. You know what I mean? But I think you've got him stashed here. I don't like the Houston matchup they have with Houston. But look, the kids, when he's gotten an opportunity, he's taken advantage of it. This may be your last chance to do it. So get him in there, put him in a flex spot, and let's see what we have.
Yeah. Look, Ray Rice is hurt, and he's always a must start. And you got a guy that's coming in, and it's the age-old story. Just because a star is hurt doesn't mean the backup's going to fill in admirably. But I think Pierce is certainly worthy of, like you say, a flex spot right now. And that's going to get to a start of mine later on, too, just simply because of this matchup with Houston. But, yeah, I'll agree with that. I like Bernard Pierce right now.
So, I don't know, Rick, why don't you sit somebody down?
Well, I'll tell you what, my first sit of the week, and it just happened to get mentioned in the chat room, is Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
Number one, he's banged up. Obviously, he may not be playing this week anyway. But even if he was healthy, with the way Jacksonville is, they're going into Seattle. Seattle just throttled San Francisco. And MJD is the only thing Jacksonville has short of Cecil Shorts right now. And there's just not much to look forward to.
Yeah, no question about it. Not a good matchup as it is. It's not going very well for them to begin with. And then you factor in the injury. It's looking like he's going to play. However, he's going to be banged up. It's just going to be a bloodbath out there. So I agree. There's so many guys. And actually, we're going to get to my start. Some of my starts, some of the guys that I'm using MJD as the baseline. If he's the guy, I'm going to start some of these lower-end guys. So we'll discuss him a lot. Rick, for me, the sit is guys don't want to give up on him. We talked about it a lot again on Tuesday and earlier in the last week, too. You don't want to give up on him because you blew that third-round pick on him when Andre Brown went down. But sit down David Wilson. I don't trust him. Brandon Jacobs is going to get carries. He's certainly going to get the goal line carries. They're still working Darrell Scott in there. You get in Tom Coughlin's doghouse, it's not easy to get out, and I don't think it's time to get him out just quite yet. So David Wilson, if you have we'll talk about some of these other guys, Giovanni Bernard, somebody like that, sit David Wilson down. I know you drafted him as your number one. I'm sorry you blew it. You got to sit him down and try and find a better option somewhere.
Yeah, until he gets out of Tom Coughlin's doghouse, and I don't know if he's going to, quite frankly. He just hasn't showed anything really in the clutch at all. And I had to agree with you. Until he starts getting a workload back, you have to bench him. I don't care if you got him second, third round. It's simple as that. You might as well treat him as if he's an injury and just sit him down, because there's just no way he's worth. Because, look, if you got him in your second, third round, you got him as RB1, RB2 at the worst.
At worst, he was your two. Some guys, if you use Dennis's wide receiver theory, this guy was going the top of the third round. You might be sitting with him as your number one. Like I said, I'm sorry. That's about all I could say. Look, the kid's got all the talent in the world. Maybe he gets another shot, but you can't risk putting him in your lineup until he gets that shot.
I agree 100%.
So how about, Rick, somebody you're watching, somebody you're on the fence about that we can talk about a little bit. Who are you watching this week?
Well, we kind of brought up the game, so my first watch is going to be, look, I think it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly quick. However, there could be some garbage time points in the Seattle game, and I think Cecil Shorts is a guy that may be a beneficiary of that. He's about the only game in town as far as that goes, and, depending on your lineup, if he's banged up, get him in as a flex.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because you're right, it's going to get ugly quick. I worry about that Seattle defense and Jacksonville having the ability to do anything. I never like really counting on garbage time, although Stevie Johnson owners in the past will tell you that's a pretty good deal. Look, if you've got injury, there's not a lot of injuries at wide receiver right now, but there could be arguments to put him in a flex. That's one of those ones I'd have to know who you were choosing him against. But certainly an option right now until Justin Blackman gets back. Certainly an option there. So very, very interesting. I like that pick.
All right. And who is your first watch?
My first watch, Rick, here's a guy I'm all kinds of down on, just down. However, Coach Garrett comes out this week and says they're making an effort, they're making a plan to run the ball more, no matter what. They need to run the ball more often. So DeMarco Murray, Rick, here's a guy, showed flashes here and there. I know he's your guy. He's been off for a little while, but this week, if they're going to make the concerted effort to run in this matchup, this might be the time to do it. So keep an eye on DeMarco Murray. You drafted him as your number two. You're probably playing him anyhow, but in a lot of weeks, I'm going to recommend sitting him. This might be his last hurrah for me.
I think DeMarco Murray is a start, and I like Dallas going forward still. And to at least have him on your watch list, that's a plus because you're so down on him.
Yeah, that's me warming up to DeMarco Murray right there. That's what I'm saying is there's a scenario under which I may start him, which I might not have said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I agree, and to me he is a start, but for you to have him on the watch, I got to agree with you 100%. So that's a good watch.
That's a good watch. All right, Rick, why don't we start somebody else?
All right, I am going to start, and he's probably pretty obvious, I guess, but I think this week you got to get Chris Johnson in your lineup. Obviously, you probably do. But, San Diego's been having a whale of a time trying to stop the run. And I think he's poised for a big game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Rick, you're probably starting him if you drafted him. But it's a question people are starting to ask. He's been about the best I can say for him right now. He's been fine. Maybe you've got a guy. See, there's not a lot of running backs overperforming. But maybe you've got a Giovanni Bernard or No Sean Moreno on your bench, if you're real lucky that you're thinking about you'd like to get in. I agree with you for this week because Chris Johnson, I think this is who he is now. He's going to have a couple of big weeks, so you want to try to identify those matchups. I think this is where one is. Chris Johnson is a guy, I think he's an 80, 90-yard-a-game guy because you're waiting for him to bust the big one or get into the end zone, which doesn't happen like it did 2 or 3 years ago when CJ2K was born. So I think he may become starting to become a bit of a matchup play. This week, I agree that San Diego matchup is a really good matchup. This isn't the week to get cute, I think, is the point we're both trying to make.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Look, Chris Johnson has underwhelmed the last couple of years, especially. At this point last year, I believe he's at 1.4 yards per carry. He's still only at 3.3. He really hasn't had any breakout runs. He has no carries of 20 plus. His longest one this year is 16 yards. But I tell you what, I think San Diego's defense, I look for that first 20-yard run this week.
It could happen.
I like him for over the century mark.
And with Chris Johnson, if he's not getting that, he's a 75, 80-yard guy. That's just who he is. So you could start looking at matchups here and there. So, Rick, we got a call on the line. Let's jump right onto that. If I can find the button here, area code 860. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
How's it going?
Good. What's on your mind?
I need a. Last week I called you guys and we talked about starting Jared Cook, and I went. Actually, you, Rick, said start Dwayne Bowen. I should have listened to you because he had a good week the prior week before.
Oh, this is mean, isn't it?
He has been thumping his chest since Monday over this Dwayne Bowe pick. Yeah,
I wasn't thumping my chest, just other than the fact that that you were thumping your chest on. He agreed with you, so, but, you know.
Well, and as a general rule that you should do that.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but then Bo turned around and killed me this week, gave me a big zero. Anyways, what do you guys think, Trent Richardson or Giovanni Bernard?
Oh, wow. Hmm. I'll tell you what, that is a good question. I'll tell you what, Cincinnati's starting to turn this into a two-headed monster. A lot of guys thought that Bernard was going to be taking law firm's job, but I tell you what, they are really turning this into a pretty good 1-2 punch. You know, normally I would just say go, you know, roll with Richardson, but you're going into a new offense, and I'm really not liking their matchup on top of that. Boy, I tell you what, you know, telling somebody to bench Trent Richardson's tough. But, the, you know, going against San Francisco in a new offense, I got to go Bernard.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, my first thought yesterday when I was thinking about this, because I've been thinking a lot about Trent Richardson since this deal happened, was I'd be worried about his workload going into the new offense. He's going to have limited knowledge of the playbook. They've basically come out and said they think they want him to get 20 touches this week. If he gets 20 touches, he's probably still Trent Richardson. But, you know, based on the matchups and playing it safe and what I saw out of Bernard, and he's got a good matchup and what's probably going to be a shootout this week with Green Bay, it's tough, but I think I'm going to agree with Rick, and I'm going to say for this week, this is a PPR league, right?
No, sir. Standard.
No, sir. Standard league, that I'm switching it. Standard league, I'm going to go with Trent Richardson. Bernard's not going to get enough work. I'm going to give you Trent Richardson in a standard league.
I think I'm going to have to switch, too. That's probably the only scenario where I would go with Richardson. But, you know, Pagano says he's going to run with him. So, you know, Trent Richardson will get the carries. I tell you, in a standard format, that's probably the way to go. I think it's safer.
Really? Okay, can I ask you another question?
Sure can.
Yeah, then I'm in I don't know. I just went to NFL's website. I don't even think Bush is going to play. Do you know if he's going to play today? Because I'm in another league where it's got to be Bush or Bernard. I don't think Bush is going to play.
Yeah, let me refresh here. I've been keeping an eye on this one all morning. It looked like this morning or early this morning they said he thought he was going to play, but he may be limited. Yeah, now there are conflicting reports he may be out. You know, one of the game time decisions, I would say they're going to be careful with him, especially the way Joique Bell's playing. I think you are looking at Giovanni Bernard there.
Yeah, you know, and this is a great question, Dean, because, you know, Scott Fisher, you've listened, he comes on with the machine. He's actually chimed in the chat room where the machine takes Richardson over Bernard.
There's the machine.
So, you know, it's a tough one there. I just fear that Bernard's not going to get.
We're talking about Reggie Bush now.
Oh, that's right. We're talking. Well, I was going back to the Richardson Bernard. I'm sorry about that because Scott came in the chat room. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the only thing I'm thinking is maybe Green Bay and is just going to have him in a big shootout where they're going to need him more, maybe.
Yeah, certainly a possibility. Look, it's a toss-up. I just think.
You know, I'm going back to Bernard because what? No, listen. No, don't start. Even in standard format, you still get receiving yards.
Yes.
So I'm going with Bernard. Simple as that. I think,
can I ask you one last question?
Yeah.
What do you guys think of streaming the Vikings defense this week against the Browns?
I love it. I think the Browns are going to be in disarray. We got the quarterback situation. What, Chris Obanaya? Actually, when we talk about, I just set one of my daily leagues, Minnesota. That's where I'm saving some money, looking for value going there. You know, not a real ball-hawking defense, but I don't think you're going to see the Browns. They've been bad with Richardson and with Whedon, and now you step down from that. Yeah, I love the Vikings this week. I think there's a lot of guys I'd plug them in against.
Yeah, that's actually one of my starts on the thing is the Vikings defense today. Because, you know, look, Cleveland's mailed it in. As far as I'm concerned, they are looking to rebuild now. They're going nowhere this year. And, you know, just getting rid of Richardson and, you know, Whedon's out. And, I mean, they're just – everything is – starting from scratch right now. So, yeah, Vikings are probably the start of the week defensively.
Yeah, and depending on who your regular starting defense is, Minnesota is a team you could get another week out of next week playing the Steelers, another offense in disarray.
We just got comments in the chat room about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, I mean, somebody you could hold on to for a couple weeks. Obviously not long term when they start playing the Green Bays and Detroit to the world, but for a two-week matchup, you know, if you're paying for your waivers or you're using free agent money, that's a team you could hold on to for a couple weeks. So I definitely love Minnesota.
All right, thanks, guys, for answering my questions.
Good to hear from you again. Talk to you soon.
Good luck.
All right, later.
All right. We had another call on the line, Rick, but it dropped off. So call on back at 864-678-4679. We'll get you right in, Rick. We are on – you just started somebody, if I'm not mistaken, right? I'm all out of sorts.
Yeah, we were talking about Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson, yeah. That's right. So I'm going to go ahead and give a start here. Nobody on the lines at the moment. Rick, if this isn't obvious yet, in a PPR format, Julian Edelman is an every week start unless you have somebody named Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, AJ Green, et cetera, et cetera. You're talking a top 10 guy in a PPR format. Amendola not back. Doesn't look like Gronkowski's going to play today. Going to be the only game in town against Tampa Bay. New England struggling to run the ball. They're going to throw the ball. Julian Edelman, that inside, that short stuff. In a standard league, the question's a little more because he gets about 4 yards a reception, it seems, but in a PPR format, if you're not, maybe I'm telling you something you already know, but you got to get Julian Edelman in your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, look, 78 yards last week, very unimpressive as far as that goes, but you talk about PPR, you get to 13 receptions, and that's gold, and it's only going to get better, I think. And look,
averaging 10 catches a game.
He's the only guy right now that's on the same page with Brady. Gronk's still out. Look, they got a bad matchup against Tampa Bay this week. And I tell you what, that's an upset special of mine this week. I got Tampa edging out New England. And, I mean, it's a must-win for Tampa. They've got a good defensive secondary. And Dobson and Tompkins just aren't there yet, and I think they can be confounded really quickly, especially if they take Edelman out of the game.
Yeah, and I don't think you're not going to put Edelman on Revis Island coming out of the slot, so it's going to be Tompkins or Dobson or a combination of the two on the outside, so they're going to have nothing. Edelman's going to probably be running free in the middle or have the best chance at it, so he's your start. So, you know what, that's a good thing. We'll switch gears maybe about 10 minutes before we get Scott on. We'll just do a rapid fire and pick the games because we've been doing that and you've been keeping track of it, so we want to keep doing that even though we're not going around the league. That was just me thinking out loud. So in the meantime, why don't you sit somebody?
Okay, I can certainly sit somebody. I like sitting people. I'll tell you what, there was a lot of juggling around with later draft picks, and we always say, you know, you make or break your team, you know, rounds 5 and 6 through about 11, 12, something like that. And a lot of guys are picking up Mark Ingram, Pierre Thomas, that sort of thing. I tell you what, sit them both. They're not performing.
I think Ingram's out. Ingram's out this week.
Ingram is out this
week.
So
Thomas actually being mentioned as a start in a lot of places. I read some stuff last night, so that's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I don't like their matchup. And look, Darren Sproles is the recipient of basically the dynamic plays. You may get a goal line touch with Thomas, and they're going against a pretty tough Arizona defense. Yeah, they're just not there right now. And as a matter of fact, that was the that was a decider on the machine last week where you took Pierre Thomas and the machine took Pierre Thomas over Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah.
Me and Scott stuck to our guns.
Yeah, you were right on that one. Giovanni Bernard busted out in a big way, so impressive there. Before I give a sit, Rick, I want to make it all about me for a second because, you know, that's what
for
I do.
For a second.
But I find – well, you know what I mean. So I finally
usually
got my –
we make the NFL or football or the show – for a second, then it's all about you.
But since Seth isn't here, I want to talk a little bit about StarFantasyLeagues.com.
Okay.
And so just finally got my lineup in. Want to know what you think. I think I was a little unsure. I had a rough week last week, had a rough week. I'm feeling good about this one, Rick. I managed to work the salary cap. I'm starting to really get the hang of this. So I wanted to see what you think of this team, Rick. A quarterback, I decided to save a little money. My number one, Matthew Stafford. Love that. Love the matchup Matthew has this week. And Andy Dalton, I don't know. I got a feeling that this Green Bay-Cincinnati game could devolve into a shootout. So at only $13,000 and $15,000 respectively, I'm feeling pretty good about Stafford and Dalton at my quarterback positions.
Yeah, not bad at all. Like you say, Dalton's going against Green Bay. certainly could turn into a shootout. And, you know, Stafford going against that Washington defense. So there you have that.
Yeah, definitely like that. At running back, you know, he came up a lot in talking to Dean. His name's come up a lot in this show and probably will continue to do so. Or no, that wasn't with Dean, that was with me. But Bernard Pierce, I went ahead and start only based on I could get him in there for $5,000, so a number one running back. I get him in for $5,800, I like. Splurged a little on Doug Martin. I think if you think it's going to be an upset special, if you think Tampa Bay is going to be in the game, it's going to be because they're running the ball, because God knows Josh Freeman is just a mess. Wide receiver Andre Johnson, like we just talked about, Julian Edelman, got him at a value at $7,300. Jared Cook at the tight end. And then at my flexes, I squeezed Demaryius Thomas in there at $12,000. I could see them putting up 40 easily on Oakland on Monday Night Football. That is the Monday night game this week, right? I'm not speaking out of turn here. And then also Daryl Richardson at only $6,400. And a PPR for – look, this guy's only running for 50, 60 yards a game. But in a PPR format, he's getting 5, 6, 7 grabs a game. So I like that. Is expected to play. And like we told Dean, for $5,400, got that Vikings defense in going up against Cleveland. So I feel pretty good about that squad.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty solid.
Oh, we got another call on the line. Right, Rick, let's jump right onto that. Area code 240. Good morning.
Hey, this is Dwight, and I have another Reggie Bush-related question.
All right. I think we're going to get a lot of those today.
Okay, I'm an idiot, so I do not have Joyce Bell, but I do have C.J. Spiller. Should I play his? Should I add his handcuff, Fred Jackson, and go with the double-headed monster, or do I go with Ridley, which I'm not liking Ridley right now. He's not my friend right now.
He's not a lot of people's friends right now, to be honest with you. There's always that chance Ridley could explode, but I tell you what, Fred Jackson right now, splitting the workload with C.J. Spiller is 12th in the league in rushing. I think Fred Jackson, great play.
Yeah, getting 12, the guy has 12 and 13 carries in weeks 1 and 2 respectively. Here's my concern with that, Rick, going up against the Jets, that's a pretty stout run defense. What I know about Fred Jackson is he's going to get the goal line carry. So he's an interesting play. Who was our other choice? Who do we have him up against?
Ridley.
Stephen Ridley, yeah, boy, I don't trust him. He's just looked bad. I think it's going to be the air show. Boy, it's hard to Rick, though, to take somebody, the number two and a two-headed monster, over the number one guy. But I think I'm going to recommend it just based on goal line carries. I think New England throws the ball in the red zone. I can see Jackson getting that goal line carry if it's to be had. So, Rick, I think I'm going to agree. And I know you like doing this back to the Roddy Brown, Ricky Williams days.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved Fred Jackson, too. It's unfortunate the problems he's had with injuries the last couple of years, but right now he's playing real good. You know, I always fear that explosion that Belichick can turn around and all of a sudden they'll run 25 times for 180 yards. But, you know, the matchup against Tampa, I don't know. I like Fred Jackson better than Ridley going forward. You know, Ridley's 3.4 yards a carry right now. And he's gotten, what, 86 yards for the year. And, you know, let's say.
And I don't see him getting much more than the 12 or 13 carries
right.
Fred Jackson's guaranteed to get. And I think Fred Jackson probably has more success with his. And that's where I justify it.
Fantastic. Appreciate the advice, gentlemen.
All right. Great to hear from you. Good luck this week. All right. Well, it's like he had my prep sheet right in front of him. My sit, Rick, Stephen Ridley this week versus Tampa Bay. That was the next about to come out of my mouth here. As you look at, you got Stephen Ridley going up against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, Rick, already the 8th-ranked fantasy defense against the run. Teams not running on Tampa Bay. I don't see New England trying to do it. Their strength is still going to be Tom Brady. Like I just said, I'll reiterate it. I don't – look, like you said, you nailed it. There's always that fear. There's going to be that game where Belichick decides to go to Ridley. He schemes for that, and he rushes for 140 yards and 3 touchdowns, and I hope that's not this week for that caller's sake. And for our sake, it makes us look like a bunch of buffoons. I don't see him getting much more than 15 carries, which is right in line with where Fred Jackson's going to be in that instance in 12, 13 carries. If you have a better option, if you have a Fred Jackson – I'll save it for my starts, but if you have some of these other guys with the Reggie Bush concerns, I think I'm sitting Stephen Ridley down this week.
Yeah, it's one of those things. He's averaging 43 yards a game right now. And look, certainly nobody's going to be 100% accurate. And when you start, as you just put, why don't you just spill the stuff over everything and short everything out? I mean, good God.
It's only week three, my friend.
Exactly. The Pepsi syndrome, like on Saturday Night Live. But,
you have to
give out the most logical and basically the soundest advice you can. And I think Fred Jackson is by far the safest and most logical pick out of those two right now.
Yeah, like I said, I'll make the point one last time because there's probably people in the chat room or sitting at home saying, these guys are idiots. I think they're going to have about the same workload the way Buffalo is using Fred Jackson right now. And with the same workload, I like Fred Jackson more than I like Stephen Ridley. If I had any confidence Ridley was going to get 20 carries, it'd be a completely different conversation. I don't think he's getting more than 12 to 15, which is right where Fred Jackson is.
Yeah, and let's expand on that a little bit. You know, everybody's, you know, this is the Patriots. This is the Patriots. They're going to tear people up. They should have lost a Buffalo game.
Yeah.
They played probably the ugliest game I've seen in years against New York.
Disgusting.
And now they got Tampa. I mean, talk about a super easy start to the year. They easily could be 0-2 into this game. And like I said, the receivers are just not on the same page with Brady. And Ridley has not been effective. He's not been able to hold on to the football. You know, you can really tell that Wes Welker and Gronk are not in there because that offense is not even close to what they were last year.
Right, and I think you get Gronk back if Amendola gets healthy and you get him back. I think there was some chemistry there. You get Amendola and Edelman running. It'll be a different kind of offense. It'll be look all more like the old school run and shoot, I think. Look, they're going to be fine, and he's Tom Brady. And despite playing as bad as they possibly could, they're still sitting 2-0.
Exactly.
But for right now, there's the weapons aren't there. Like, give me Gronk back. And I think you get Gronk back and you get the passing game going, I think then that feeds the running game. So don't completely give up on Ridley yet.
Oh, no.
But if you have better matchups out there, equal matchups, all things being equal, I'm sitting Ridley until things get rolling again.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
All right. We are Rick. We got about 20 minutes left before we get Scott in here in the machine. So let's who you watching this week? Who you debating? Who are you flipping a coin on right now?
I'll tell you what, who I'm debating right now is brings up one of the things. I'm just going to hold off. I'm going to hold off on this one because he also is involved in a question for Scott and the machine.
Okay.
So we'll just wait on that. So I'm going to move on to something to watch is Andre Roberts.
Yeah, interesting. I had him written down, actually.
And, you know, they're going against New Orleans. And Carson Palmer certainly not afraid to air it out. And you know Drew Brees is going to. Look, Andre Roberts had almost 100 yards the first week. I just think there's going to be a lot of balls flinging around today. And, you know, I think if you're sitting there with this guy, you know, debating between him or a Mike Williams, that sort of thing, get him in there in a flex.
Yeah, look, Mike Williams is always sort of mentioned as that, you know, if you're in a flex league or a three-receiver league, he's always the 23rd through the 27th guy. I'm not as high on him. He had that big week one. It is an end zone, a red zone threat. He really is. But when you put him up against Mike Williams, I like what Arizona's doing. I don't hate their matchup this week. Larry Fitzgerald obviously going to get the double. I'm with you there, Rick. I have no idea. Andre Roberts is an interesting guy, and he's a guy to perfect slot for him. He's a guy to watch.
Yeah. Another guy in a contract year looking to, as we had the big argument last week, nobody wants to be a backup. I'm sure this guy looking to get a gig on another team.
Absolutely. So, Rick, a guy I'm watching this week, nothing in week one when we recommended him. Nice week last week when we didn't recommend him. Tavon Austin's a guy I'm keeping an eye on. Showed flashes of what he has the ability to do, and I think as he earns the coach's trust, as he has earned Sam Bradford's trust, Tavon Austin's going to start creeping into an every week kind of flex sort of conversation. I loved what I saw last week. Used him down around the goal line, which I liked, and he managed to find the end zone. Tavon Austin, a guy who I think was overdrafted early when we were doing a lot of these drafts we did in July, especially, and then started getting underdrafted, I think, towards the end. Tavon Austin, I'm keeping an eye on him. It's going to be based on matchup, but I don't think he's real far away from being an every-week flex start.
Yeah, like you said, he gets overdrafted. And a lot of these rookie sensations through all the hype from the NFL draft and the NFL Network and all of them doing all this coverage of these guys and people, he's the next guy. But, it takes time for these guys to work into these offenses and so forth. And you can certainly see the tools and so forth. Everybody's not Randy Moss or Larry Fitzgerald, and it takes some time for a lot of guys to work in. But I agree. By week eight, he very well could be a WR1 low end going forward.
Yeah, no question about it. Definitely starting to watch him. So this is the Inside Slant on AsylumFantasyFootball.com, on the Real Fan Sports Network at rfsportsradio.blogspot.com. Get those questions in at asylumfootball@gmail.com, at asylumfootball on Twitter. Give us a call, 646-478-4679. Rick, one more guy you're going to start this week.
Okay, where to start? I'll tell you what. Here's a start for me, and I'm not high on their offense, but I think you got to start Torrey Smith. Now, look, they're playing against Houston. Tennessee was able to torch them through the air, and I think Houston's actually going to be able to put up quite a few points on Baltimore. At first, I was a little on board with the new influx of talent in the Baltimore's defense, but it's new. They haven't gelled yet, and I think too many weapons for Houston. They're going to put a lot of points on them. Flacco is not afraid to air it out, and I think Torrey Smith's a start today.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's a game. Look, this game, it's going to go two ways. It's got all the makings of a 10-9 game, a 7-6 game, or you could see it really break out. I think Ray Rice is out. You take a big element out of their passing game. You still have questions at tight end, regardless of my feelings about Dallas Clark. I think they're going to try and push the ball down the field. I think they may be forced to, and where they do, I think Torrey Smith could shine. So I like that start. Rick, a start of mine we'll finally get into. We've had a couple Reggie Bush questions already. Rick, Joik Bell is a lockdown start, no question about it, for me, going up against the Redskins' rather porous defense. Just ask James Starks. You look at that. Last 2 weeks ago, LeSean McCoy, 31 for 184. A lot of that in the first half. You saw what Starks did last week. I think Bush is going to be limited. While there's conflicting reports, it's seeming like he's going to play, but we don't know. Well, hopefully I'm monitoring this very closely because I have a feeling this is going to keep coming up. Nothing new right now. Right now it looks like still a 50-50 shot. Either way, if Reggie Bush plays, I think Joik Bell gets a ton of carries, and I think if he does, he's a top 12 guy this week.
I'm thinking Reggie Bush is likely out today. And, I agree 1,000% on Joik Bell. I mean, he's a must-start right now against Washington. Get him in there.
Yeah, it looks like right now, here's what we're up against. So get Joik Bell in there either way. Reggie Bush owners, stay on the edge of your seat. CBS is reporting that he is expected to play, while ESPN is reporting that he's not expected to play.
There you go.
If those two can't figure it out, these two dummies down here in this basement sure aren't going to figure it out. So keep your eye on that. But if you have Joik Bell, get him in your lineup one way or the other without question.
Yeah, whether or not Reggie Bush is playing, they're not going to
clearly he's going to be limited.
Out,
clearly
so.
He's going to be limited
exactly.
Even if he does play. All right, Rick, we are at a sit. One more sit.
Okay, I tell you what, I really just don't want to go with the obvious any Steeler running back. But I'm going to have to because it just is. You're going against Chicago defense, and I don't care what Isaac Redman says. I listened to his interviews this week. We've got to get the running game going no matter what it takes, and we got to do this. They can't block, and
no.
I don't want Isaac Redman in my lineup. I don't want Jonathan Dwyer in my lineup. And I don't want Felix Jones in my lineup.
No.
So basically, any Steeler running back, you have to have a better option on your bench.
There has to be. Now,
and if you don't, you drafted poorly.
Now, extreme scenario. Somebody walks into your house, Rick, at about 12:30 and puts a gun in your mouth and says, you must start a Steeler running back or die. your first option might be to die. I might suggest that.
Right.
But if
but
you're
I one, like living, so
but
I'm
if you're one
Felix
of those
Jones.
Guys who's into real into living, you nailed it, Rick. I think the guy's Felix Jones, at least in a PPR format. He started to see more and more work, even though they brought him back. I don't know what Jonathan Dwyer did to Mike Tomlin, if he insulted his family or grabbed his wife. I don't know why he hates Jonathan Dwyer so much. Probably the most talented in terms of running backs on that team. He's not going to touch the ball. Isaac Redman's a disaster. So if you find yourself with a Colt 45 between your teeth having to pick one of them, I think Felix Jones is the guy. But avoid it at all costs. And if you're a Steeler fan and you want to see a grown man cry, stop by Section 518 way up in the rafters. I hope I don't fall off where I'll be sitting tonight, assuming I can get down there with the Pirate game and the Steeler game coinciding. If you want to see a grown man cry about mid-second quarter, come up there and give me a visit in Section 518 of Heinz Field this evening.
You know, a lot of people are expecting the Steelers, you know, and I can see them thinking that they're going to have this Herculean effort in beating the Bears this week. Look, there's question marks on the Bears. There's no question about that. And I think it's going to be a close game because of the defenses, but I still see Chicago edging them out. I just don't think the Steelers, I don't know, there's something missing this year. I'm not sure what it is. Yeah. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of fire anywhere, especially on the offense. The defense has played well. But, I'm looking at the Bears, you know, 3-point win, something like that.
If it's going to happen, I can see the Steelers manning up tonight. I really can, and I can see Roethlisberger playing better. But you can't play better with your – well, I can't say that on the radio, but with your head in the dirt. Then I was going to say something else in the dirt that Mike Tyson used to like to say. Yeah, could it happen? I expect sort of a sloppy game, sort of an ugly game. You know, Jay Cutler can go either way. I don't like the matchup, Brandon Marshall on Ike Taylor. I think Marshall just is going to eat his lunch. Taylor really come a long way in his career, but Brandon Marshall's the kind of guys that just give them fits. You know, Forte I can see struggling. I just don't see any way the Steelers move the ball on this defense. And the Steelers live this season to turn the ball over, and we all know what the Bears do. So probably you're looking at a defensive touchdown being the deciding score in this game.
Yeah, I saw an article by Ed Bouchette, you know, the beat writer for the Steelers, you know, basically asking the question if it was personnel or play calling. He seemed to think it's play calling.
Does Todd Haley finish the year?
I respectfully disagree with that statement because, look, play calling is one thing. And let's face it, I think if you look back the last two or three years, you know, why is Arians gone? You know, he was the first to go because it was the play calling, blah, blah, blah. Look, they can't even get over 3 yards a carry rushing the football.
They can't get over 45 yards a game.
No, it's not just play calling. I'm sorry. Two offensive coordinators who have had success. Bruce Arians is having success this year. You have to have something to work with. You have to be able to hand off to a running back. And look, we've all seen plenty of backup running backs come in and run for 100 yards. And
75, I would take.
Yeah, take 75, whatever. But, you know, you hand off to a running back and he's getting killed in the backfield, it doesn't matter what play you're calling because they fear not the run. They don't fear any play action. And there's just, you're very limited at what you can do.
Right. So then you throw the wide receiver screen 8 times a game, and we see that. So, Rick, we got about 7 minutes. I want to get Scott in here right at 11. I know we got a ton of questions. Get Scott Fishing the Machine in
and
here.
Scott, I mean, you know, hell. Feel free to come in, Scott, to make sure if
we
cut anything off.
We need to call Scott. So.
Oh, okay.
I hope it works this time. We'll discuss that. You're going to have to do some padding.
If we get the elevator music, just let us know in the chat room.
So let's whip around, Rick. Let's just pick these games. No paralysis by analysis. Houston at Baltimore.
Houston at Baltimore. Houston 30, Baltimore 21.
I like Houston. I'm not going to do the score thing. I like Houston. In a fairly close game, I actually see it more low scoring, but I agree, Houston there. The Giants at Carolina.
That's an interesting game. Both porous defenses right now. I think that was another start that I had. Get Eli Manning in your lineup. But I think it's going to be close. I think Cam Newton may explode a little bit, but I like the Giants 37-35.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Giants in a close one. I want for all the world to pick Carolina, but the Giants, after just getting handed to them last week, they're too good of a football team to drop two in a row, especially one to Carolina, so I like Giants in a close one. Rick, this game, I think I'll be watching this afternoon. This one interests me a great deal. Green Bay at Cincinnati.
Yeah, they Green Bay went wild last week, that's for sure, and their offense was really clicking. This is a whole different animal taking on Cincinnati defense. But I still think, you know, I'm going to put my money on Rodgers every time to outgun Andy Dalton. I'll go Packers 34, Bengals 24.
Yeah, I like Green Bay on the road as well. Another interesting game, more interesting than I think you'd think at first blush, St. Louis at Dallas.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game, but I like Dallas. I picked them to take the division before the season started. I think it's going to be a close game within a touchdown. I got Cowboys 27, Rams 20.
We go for an upset here, Rick, on the road. I like St. Louis going in there. Tavon Austin starting to break out a little bit. Turmoil might be too strong a word already in Dallas. Wanting to run the ball more. Romo struggling a little bit. That offense struggling. I can see St. Louis go in there and stealing an ugly one. Just a gut feeling. So,
very possible.
So there's going to be my upset.
There's a question in the chat room.
Okay,
Eli or Romo?
Eli or Romo. So you got St. Eli. I like Eli this week. Even in when he's looking terrible and turning the ball over, he's averaging 400 yards a game. I like Cam Newton this week against, I think the word you used was porous Giants defense. So I can see this game getting a little more high scoring. I think I'm going to go ahead and ride Eli based on yardage alone.
Okay, I tell you what, I've been in a toss-up like in our League of Consequence. I'm playing you, and I'm still tossing out. I've got Romo and Rivers.
Yeah.
And right now I've got Rivers starting, but, you know, I like Romo. But I'm waiting. You know, Rivers has already showed me something.
Yeah.
7 touchdowns, 1 pick. I'm riding him right now.
Right.
So I'm going to have to go with you. I think I don't trust Eli really either. But I think I'd go
good
Eli.
Good Eli or bad Eli. But bad Eli still throwing 400 yards
exactly.
A game. So let's move on, Rick. I think it's an easy one. Cleveland at Minnesota.
Cleveland at Minnesota is obviously an easy game to me. I think the Vikings defense is a start. You know, Vikings – yeah, walking away, 10, 14, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, no
I don't
doubt
think
about
their offense is that potent really to run away from the Cleveland defense.
No, but Cleveland, I think, going to be unable to move the ball whatsoever, just in complete disarray. Rick, a game you alluded to earlier, Tampa Bay at New England.
Yeah, this is my upset special of the week. I mean, look, if there's ever a must-win situation right now, Tampa's in it. The problem is they do have to visit New England. But Brady's having trouble getting his young receivers on the same page. Danny Amendola is injured and Gronk's still out. So that's the upset special, and I'm taking the Buccaneers 27, Patriots 24.
It's interesting. I like where you're going with it, but I don't know where Tampa Bay gets 27 points. So I'm going to go ahead and
Doug
play
Martin
it safe.
Doug Martin and Vincent Jackson.
Well, let's hope so for my sake in many a league, but I'm going to go ahead and play it safe and go with New England. Rick, just rapid fire. We got a call on the line, and we want to get get Scott in real quick. Arizona, New Orleans.
I like New Orleans.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one there. San Diego at Tennessee.
I like San Diego.
Yeah, I'm on the Phillip Rivers game myself there. Detroit at Washington.
I like Washington by a field goal.
Wow, I thought I was going to go against you there, but I too like Washington. I think they bounce back a little bit. I don't like Detroit on the road as much.
Exactly.
Atlanta at Miami.
Atlanta at Miami. I have Miami in a mild upset just because Atlanta is banged up with Steven Jackson and Roddy White.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just to go against you, I'm going to go Atlanta, but I think that game's a coin flip. Buffalo at the Jets.
I have Buffalo edging them out by 1 point.
1 point, yeah. Buffalo looking above mediocre this year.
This game is much more important right now than anybody ever thought it would be 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no question about it. Somebody trying to keep pace with New England
exactly.
as they struggle. Jacksonville at Seattle. Do we even need to discuss that?
It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly quick.
Yeah, Seattle 127, Jacksonville negative 2.
Yeah.
Indy at San Francisco, probably the game of the week there.
You know, I'm not as interested in this game as if I would have been if Trent Richardson had been there a month. You know, I'll be honest with you, I like San Francisco. I think the defense is going to be all over Luck today. I got 49ers by 10.
Yeah, San Francisco, I think, got embarrassed last week against Seattle. They're coming back home, and I think they show who they are and have to keep pace in that division. So I like San Francisco at home as well. We already completely broke down Chicago and Pittsburgh. We both like Chicago in a close one. And on Monday night, Oakland at Denver.
I don't think Oakland's got the firepower to keep up, although they've been competitive. But I think Denver by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think historically Oakland goes up there. Oakland, you know.
Something to mention, though, really keep your eye on the pressure that Manning's getting with Ryan Clady out for the year. That's his blind side. And replacing him's essential, I'll tell you what, because you don't want your guy to get hurt.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, Darren McFadden, I think, is going to be a start in this game historically on these Monday. Don't these Oakland-Denver Monday night games always sort of turn out to be a little wacky and be big numbers, but start all your Broncos to include No'Shawn Moreno. I see he was my last start that we
definitely
didn't get to. So, Rick, talk about something you pad. I'm going to try to get Scott and
thought
the
we had
machine
a call
here
on the line.
They dropped off, so unfortunately they must
impatience
not have.
Impatience is not a virtue.
They must not have liked one of our picks and immediately dropped
maybe we
off.
Answered it for them.
That
could have
been. Maybe we already answered the question. So,
but no,
I'm going to try to add Scott.
I'll tell you just a couple, while we're talking, a couple of starts while you're trying to get Scott on here. I think another guy in a PPR format to really pay attention to is Matt Forte against the Steelers. You know, I can't hear. Great
stuff. And I think we're still on the air. We might have pulled it off this week. Scott, how you doing tonight?
Doing good. You guys can hear me okay, I assume?
Oh, yeah. We're going to adjust the volume here.
There we go.
Go ahead. Say something, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good to be here.
There it is. And we're still on the air, by God. I think we finally got it, Rick. Week 3, and we pulled it off.
Yeah, in the chat room, Big Tech tells us there's no Muzak this
all
week,
right.
So we're in good shape.
But they're probably missing it, though. Every week you listen to this show, you get Muzak from 11 to
11:15. Yeah. All right. So we will get into the machine here as soon as I find my list of questions that I – and you did get it, I hope.
I did get it, yeah.
All right. So go ahead and pad, Rick, because I got to find my questions.
So, Scott, obviously, of FFOAces.com, why don't we do that? What do you got going on over at FFOAces this week?
Oh, we got lots of stuff. We have our FFO Pick'em, which contestants try to pick against the staff, and if you beat us, you can win free stuff. It's free to play. You can go in there and still do it for the next 2 hours. Let's see. What else do we got? We have just lots of start-sit articles, IDP start-sit articles. We have a beer of the week done by Zach Law and a grilling tailgate of the week done by Brady Callahan. We got lots of stuff going on over there.
Beer of the week. Now that's
what is his beer of the week?
You know, I actually haven't checked it out yet. It went up yesterday morning. I was going to check it out right before game time here, but let's see. He's got Dirty Helens by Barley Island Brewing Company, and he's got Sun King's Wee Mac.
Wow.
Which looks like they're both Indianapolis brews. He was in Indianapolis this week meeting with another FFOASIS staffer, Brian Bulmer.
Do you have any descriptions of them?
It does. I haven't read through it yet, so I might be the wrong person to ask right now.
You know what I wish, Rick? I know you're a beer guy. You actually brew some down here
in the studio. I am a home brewing metal winner.
I am so low rent that all I like is garbage off the factory floor.
No,
I cannot get a taste for a real good man's beer. I can't do it. It's a great shame of mine. I can't do it. I have no taste for it. I'm just so unsophisticated, I think, is the problem, that I just running around drinking Bud Light, and I'm just happier than hell doing that. And any of this good man's beer, I don't have any tolerance for it.
I think what we're going to do, I think between now and the end of the season.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen is I'm going to teach you the fine art of microbrew enjoyment. And you are going to develop a taste for a real man's beer because you profess to be one.
Oh, well, I'm a man. It's not when it comes to my beer. Now,
so that's what we're going to do. That's the experiment.
Now,
Rick Flager beer enjoyment experiment.
Now, am I going to have to say all that douchey stuff that you beer guys say, like it's very hoppy or fruit flavor? Yeah, I know. There's a lot of douchey stuff you guys say.
Douchey, like, hoppy, and he has a
or like you say it has a certain bouquet, and that's really
douchey. That's wine,
douchey.
You dope.
Oh, maybe a wine. I don't drink wine either. That may surprise.
All right,
you. All right. We got Scott for a limited time here. Let's get some questions knocked out.
Okay, Scott, you've been listening. You and I outperformed Flieger and the Machine last week, so we are quite proud of ourselves.
Yeah, I fully expect to do that again this week.
As always. Okay, the first one, a 10-team PPR. My running backs 3 and 4 are Wilson and Lamar Miller. They make me nervous. Who would you drop to pick up Fred Jackson? Tompkins or Randall?
Oh, boy. So he wants to start. Who's he want to pick up? Fred Jackson.
Right.
And I think I'd start Fred Jackson over either one of those guys.
I think that's his intention.
I like where he's going. So Tompkins or Randall.
I think it's easy to me.
Yeah, I like Randall. I like what he did in the preseason. But right now, while Cruz and Nix are healthy, Randall's the third guy in that offense. Tompkins, while this week's probably going to be a disaster, he's definitely got more upside. I think I'd drop Randall to bring Fred Jackson in and start him this week over those two clowns.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close. I think the upside with Tompkins on that New England offense is way up there compared to Randall. You know, you got Cruz and Nix and, you know, Bennett. Actually, you'd almost consider him fourth. So, I really think Tompkins.
Yeah, it's a sweep. I'm the same way. I do like Randall. I liked him coming out of high school. Didn't like him so much at LSU, but he wasn't really a focus of their offense in LSU. But, yeah, until one of Nix or Cruz go down, Tompkins just has way more upside. So, yeah, same boat.
I just spoke. I meant Myers, not Bennett. But,
and any thought over on Fred Jackson over Wilson or Lamar Miller? I think Rick and I tend to agree. Fred Jackson, but compared to some of these low-end guys that are feature running backs, is starting to creep into that conversation.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't trust David Wilson right now, even though I did like him. But Lamar Miller, I've expressed my hate for years. His final year at Miami, he would fall down. He'd run like 8-9 yards through a giant hole and then just fall down. That's his game. He falls down if someone coughs in his direction. So
very Joseph Addai like, go to an older ref who always drove me nuts. He seemed to be good for that.
Yeah, you know my history of Joseph Addai.
That's why I bring it up.
Yes, indeed. There was a draft, and everybody knew that I had won that year, and I didn't even come close. I had Joseph Addai. Who was that clown from Cleveland? He's out of the league now. The wide receiver went to the Jets.
Braylon Edwards.
Yeah, Braylon Edwards, man. I thought, man, I got it nailed.
Yeah,
Edwards couldn't catch a cold day.
4 and 7. All right, Rick. Next question.
All right, cutting some of the questions short, so not reading everything. Garcon or Edelman?
Oh,
and I saw
wow.
you answer this one on Twitter.
Wow.
And
wow.
PPR,
I assume.
Well, that was the thing. It was on Twitter, so I really don't know. You answered it. I know you answered with Edelman.
Yeah, in a PPR, it's Edelman. And here, I hope they're listening. I should have followed up, I guess, on Twitter. In a PPR, it's Edelman. In a standard format, it's Garcon. So I'm going to play 50-50 there, Rick.
Well, I'll jump in here. I think it's Edelman either way, honestly. I just like his potential to score more in that game. And, yeah, PPR, I don't have it close. The Machine gives a decent edge. Not a huge edge, but about a point and a half difference towards Edelman.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to make it unanimous. Look, Garcon gives you that explosive chance. And I really like what I see with him and the chemistry that him and Griffin have, but especially in PPR. I mean, when you're getting 10 catches, I mean, you know, say 10 to 12 catches a game, he's turning into Brady's Wes Welker. I think you have to go with Edelman.
Yeah, all right. So, we got a call on the line, Rick. Let's jump on and grab that. Area code 609. Good morning.
Oh, it's Jersey.
No, I don't think.
Hey, how you doing?
How's it going?
Oh, hanging in there. I got a nice hole in my lineup today. I'm 1-1, so this is a nice
turning point in the beginning of my season where I want to win this one. But I need a flex, a number two receiver, and a tight end out of the choices I'm about to give you guys now. I have T.Y. Hilton, Michael Floyd, Antonio Brown, Kenny Stills, Charles Clay, and Fred Jackson. And Reggie Bush hurt, but I don't know if they're going to play him.
Yeah, it's looking more and more like he's not. The story's been not 100% sure. So a flex, a second receiver, you said, right? And a tight end.
Yeah, and a tight end.
So
okay,
I
have Michael Finley as well. Floyd, Brown, Jackson, and
Antonio Brown, Stills, and Clay.
Okay, Stills and Clay. Okay.
The only starter I have set on receivers is Tavon Austin because he's not injured for me, so I'm going to start him.
Yeah, it's a shame the injury's starting to mount up already. I tell you what, we talked a lot about Fred Jackson.
Is this PPR?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
1 point PPR.
So like T.Y. Hilton, don't love him, don't love the matchup, but I think paired with in terms of your wide receivers, it comes down to being him and Floyd. I like him there. Clay's an interesting guy. I'm not ready. I might need to see that one more time. You know, in a PPR format, he had the 100 yards. I'm not sure I'm ready to trust him. I think I'll slide Fred Jackson in there in that spot, Rick.
Yeah, I got to go. I'll put Jackson as a flex and your wide receiver two. Yeah, I have to go. I have to go with Rick. I like Hilton.
Now, Antonio Brown's the one that sticks out to me. That just... That offense, that Steelers offense is in such disarray. He's probably in a normal year, at a normal time, he's the safest guy there. Should be an easy wide receiver, too. But I think it comes down to I like T.Y. Hilton above him.
Scott?
Yeah, I think the machine here tells us T.Y. Hilton and Antonio Brown are the two to go with. And I think I actually lean that way as well. I don't exactly love Fred Jackson this week, just based on the fact that he's playing the Jets and they're third best versus fantasy running backs. I think they've only allowed like 120 yards and either zero or one touchdown. And it's not like they've played idiots. They've played Doug Martin and Stephen Ridley. So I don't love Fred Jackson this week. I think I would go with Hilton and Brown personally. Did you, Jersey, say you also had to start a tight end?
Yeah, I had to choose between Clay and JerMichael Finley. Finley, because of a toe injury, usually I would go with him, but I'm a little nervous on him.
Okay. Yeah. Oof. Gosh, that's tough. I think I'd probably go with Clay. I think Miami is going to have to play it a little tighter with Atlanta. The machine says Finley, but the toe, and I love the Bengals' defense. I think I'd probably lean Clay and just hope.
Yeah, probably. And I mean, he's done it. He's been a part of the offense. Finley, I still worry about the drops. I've been impressed with him. He's outperformed for me to this point. But I tend to agree. Let's not go with the hot hand.
Yeah, I'm not into benching Finley other than the toe injury. I mean, obviously, that's a concern. But, yeah, I'll have to go with Clay on that one just because you just don't know. You know, when you're doing the cuts and so forth, that could really hamper him, you know, with a toe injury. So I think Clay's a safer pick.
All right, so to wrap it all into a neat little package there, we've got Clay unanimously. I think we've got Hilton unanimously. And then 3-1 AB over Fred Jackson. So pretty close to unanimous anyhow.
Definitely. I appreciate it, guys. I really do.
All right, great to hear from you.
Good luck
this week.
Thank you.
I don't think it was Jersey, was it?
No, it wasn't.
That wasn't Jersey.
Oh, someone was saying Jersey in the chat room, so I thought
might
have been.
I don't think it was.
Nah, it didn't sound
I haven't
like
heard
Jersey.
From Jersey yet, though.
Nah. Oh. Okay, let's move on here. Here's a pretty good one here. You got a looking for a wide receiver 3, half-point PPR. Mike Williams, Nate Burleson.
Mike Williams, Nate Burleson. Boy, that's interesting. I like what Burleson does. If you think Tampa Bay is going to win, Rick, and I don't, but if you think it's going to be a close game, I'm going to go Mike Williams, but boy, that's close. I'll be interesting to see what the machine thinks about that one.
Well, I'm going Nate Burleson because they're going against Washington, and I think they're susceptible to the pass. Stafford's certainly getting down there. They're going to have to keep your eye on Calvin, of course. Joik Bell. There's a lot of weapons in Detroit, and I think that Washington defense has certainly been vulnerable. So I'm going Burleson.
My thing, though, when Tampa Bay is looking for a touchdown, more than V-Jax in a lot of cases, I think they're looking for Mike Williams. When Detroit gets down inside the 20, you know where the ball is going, and I don't care how many guys are covering. So I'm thinking the potential for a touchdown is what puts Mike Williams just a tick above him. But, boy, that's a good question right there.
Well, I do love myself some Mike Williams and his touchdown potential, but I think I'm with the first Rick here. I wasn't paying full attention. I was kind of looking up some stats, but Washington so far through two games is the worst team in the NFL versus opposing fantasy wide receivers, allowing over 500 yards and four touchdowns. And I kind of like that for Burleson, so I think I'll lean him. The machine, however, tells it's Mike Williams by a small margin.
Once again, it's me and the machine versus Briggs and Scott. So,
and you usually lose.
What one game? Giovanni Bernard. You're just going to thump your chest about that for weeks, aren't you?
Yes, we are, aren't we, Scott?
I will mention something about that call on our part, Briggs. That was Chris Gooden's pick, and he told me he won because of that pick. So
there you go. And that's why we thump our chest.
Well, I'm happy for Chris. That I'll say I do like Chris. So
and
I'll
tell
go ahead.
Chris, you are welcome.
You got to be that guy. All right.
Wow.
All right. Next question. Good Lord.
No. I'll be over no, here we have to see what the machine said.
Already said the machine agreed with me. That was conversation
started. I'm sorry. I was looking up something
somebody
else.
Somebody forgot
there we
his
go.
Ginkgo
machine?
Biloba this morning,
I'll
apparently.
Mark it down. Ginkgo
Biloba. Isn't that the thing for your memory?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't remember.
There you go.
Okay. McFadden versus Denver. And I think we've already covered this. Or Ridley versus Tampa Bay.
Oh, that's not
half
even
point
a,
PPR.
Not even a question. McFadden by a mile. I'm not even going to break that one down.
I think it'll probably be closer than what we think just because it is, I don't know, just because of that Ridley factor you're afraid of. But I like McFadden. There's no way I'm going to bench him in place of Ridley, that's for sure.
Well, the machine actually has Ridley by a small margin. And I'm with you guys. I agree. I'd rather take McFadden, especially in PPR. I don't think it's that close, but the machine likes Ridley this week.
Well, that's interesting there. But time will tell, you know, in just a few hours. But I tell you what, and that's the thing. It's if I'm going into a big game, just like the last caller we had, he's 1-1. I'm really looking to turn my season around. I tell you, it's hard to say. Well, go ahead and gamble on Ridley. I just think McFadden's a much safer play. He is the big dog in that Oakland offense.
You know, I feel like, and I'm trying to back it up here, I wish I'd researched this before, but it sort of dawned on me when we were talking about it earlier. I feel like Darren McFadden has big games on Monday night. I know they don't play a ton on Monday night, but I feel like there was two games, maybe both against Denver, where McFadden really broke out. I could be way off on that. It's just a gut feeling I have. So, Rick, why don't you hit the next question while I try to find that out.
Okay. Hey, here's another one I think is very intriguing question. Doesn't say if it's yes, it does. Excuse me. It's standard scoring. You got Bernard Pierce, Darrell Richardson. And I think in standard, just with the matchup, I like Darrell Richardson.
See, I'm going to agree for the same argument the other way. Darrell Richardson, most of his value that he's had is, let's be honest, a low-end two, if not a flex guy, has been in a PPR in, you know, 5-6 grabs a game. I think otherwise he's looking, you know, 50-55 yards on average a game. Pierce, I don't like the matchup he has, but I think he's going to get the ball, and like we talked about earlier, any shot he's got, he's taken advantage of. In a PPR, I might lean Richardson. It'd still be close, but I think in a standard format, I'm all in on Pierce in that matchup.
See, I'm just thinking just in a standard, basically your points – you know, going against a Houston defense or the Dallas defense, hey, they're both pretty good. And I'm just looking for, I don't know. That's a good question. It really is. And I'm just going to go with Richardson. I just have a better feeling with him against Dallas.
Well, I think the Machine and I are going to agree on this one. The Machine has Bernard Pierce by actually a very, very large margin. And I agree. I think Pierce is going to be the guy in there the entire game. And I think Seattle or St. Louis still manages to push that around. Another thing about it is that Dallas hasn't even given up 100 yards total in the first two games to running backs. And they played Jamal Charles and I don't remember who else, but it's not like they played slouches either. So I got to lean Pierce.
All right, Rick, you are on an island this time.
I've been there before. Hey, I got one in the chat room, so we might as well do it. Tight end, Julius Thomas, Tyler Eifert.
I
got to go Thomas.
Yeah, I don't think it's that close. I like what Eifert did last week. He had the long grab, ended up putting up a nice stat line. I think long-term Eifert's going to be a guy. I just don't think he's getting as many carries now. Gresham's still a big part of that offense. Julius Thomas, I'll go back to it. Peyton Manning said it himself. I don't know who's going to cover Julius Thomas with all the weapons there, especially a goal line, an easy, easy touchdown threat every time they get inside the red zone. I think it's Thomas with a bullet.
Yep, complete agreement. Julius Thomas, no question for me. And the Machine, it's a landslide on the Machine for Julius Thomas.
All right, so we got that one all squared away. At least nobody's on an island anyway.
That's true. You found your way back.
Okay, here's another interesting one here. Not all that difficult to me, but, you know, it could prove if you're a believer in garbage points. Cecil Shorts or Andre Roberts?
See, you keep going. We talked about this earlier, and you go to the garbage point. I don't know if there's going to be any garbage points to be had for Jacksonville against Seattle. I think Seattle's that good and Jacksonville's that bad, especially without the threat of a running game. I mean, MGD, assuming he plays, banged up. I don't like Shorts at all. I don't even remember who the other guy was, as I'm still looking up Darren McFadden's stats. But
Andre Roberts.
Yeah, it's a big thumbs down on Cecil Shorts for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of tending to lean towards Rick. I'm not even sure there's going to be garbage points this week against Seattle. Look, they put up, I believe, 11 points in two games, and they're going against a Seattle defense that just totally throttled San Francisco. I think Andre Roberts easily.
Yeah, the machine says Shorts somehow. Maybe believing in the garbage points as well, but I'm with you. I think Roberts is the play here. I've heard that Richard Sherman might be on Shorts, which I don't think he scores anything then.
No.
If Seattle does get ahead, I can see them running the ball a lot and controlling that clock, and there just won't be the opportunities. So, yeah, I'm going Roberts as well.
All right. Now, this one here, this is my question of the week. I love
question
this one.
Question of the week.
This guy's looking for a flex position. Okay. Who is it? Ben Tate, Fred Jackson.
Oh, two guys in similar positions. So Tate versus Fred Jackson.
And I'll let you tackle that. One of you two tackle that one. I just think this is a fascinating question.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time recommending Fred Jackson here. Matchups aren't a whole lot different. I think Tate has a better matchup. I think after the big Ben Tate fight we had on Tuesday night, if you haven't listened to that, go back and check that out at asylumfantasyfootball.com. Nearly led to fisticuffs here in the bunker studio. I'm going to lean Tate on this. I think he's going to get opportunities more in the pass game as well. Are we talking a PPR format, did you say, Rick?
It did not say.
Yeah, Tate not a big PPR guy, but Fred Jackson not at all. I'm going to lean Tate here just based on the matchup, and that's just a click over, I think. But, boy, that's close for me.
Yeah, that was a very tough one over that one. You got Houston playing at Baltimore, and, you know, Fred Jackson, they're playing at New York against the Jets. I tell you what, it is very close. I just like, you know, Fred Jackson's 12th right now in the league in rushing. The Jets are fairly stingy that way. I think I'm going to have to lean – boy, I tell you, that is a good one. I'm going to lean Ben Tate.
All right, well, I don't actually have it very close. I have Ben-Tate, and the machine has Ben-Tate by a medium-sized margin. Like I said before when we were discussing Fred Jackson, Jets are the third best versus fantasy running backs. They've played Martin and Ridley, so they've actually played some backs. And they've only allowed 3 receiving yards to running backs so far this year, which is just crazy. But, yeah, I don't see Fred Jackson having a lot of room in the shared carries. Tate sharing as well, but I like Tate.
And saying that, I wonder what that means for C.J. Spiller as
well.
It's
hard to say. The Jets are stingy. There's no question about that. And look, I've actually got Ben-Tate starting in a couple of different legs, you know, as a flex spot. And, you know, he's actually been doing fairly well. So we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, where it's all unanimous on Ben-Tate. Let's go to the chat room. There's another question in there. It's a non-PPR flex needed from this pile of trouble. I like that.
Pile of trouble.
Yeah.
Stack of mediocrity.
Trent Richardson. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. T.Y. Hilton. Chris Givens.
All right. For me, it comes down to Richardson and Hilton. I'll tell you what, I don't trust Richardson this week. I don't like him going into that new offense. However, they seem committed to giving him the ball 20 times. I keep hearing that number. I think a blowhard as Irsay is, he's going out and making the move. I think there's going to be a push to make that move look right. I don't trust him, but in a non-PPR, assuming he's going to get 18 to 22 catches, give me Richardson, and I hope maybe he finds his way in the end zone. But, boy, I don't like their matchup either. Although Alden Smith arrested for DUI last night, Rick, but he's still expected to play, so we'll see how bad he's hanging over.
I just love that. Don't, you know, talk about taking responsibility. Yeah, we'll just play him anyway.
Yeah, well, he's innocent until proven guilty, Rick.
Yeah,
that's what
I
say.
Yeah. There's weed in the car and everything else. You're innocent, right?
Did he have weed? I don't know.
I thought that's what they said.
Let me look into that.
But, you know, it's not a good matchup. You're absolutely correct with Indianapolis playing at San Francisco. I don't like that. So, I mean, now we're talking both guys right there, Richardson or Hilton, going against that San Francisco defense. You know, Hilton's kind of banged up. You know, I'm going way off the mark here.
Uh-oh.
And I am going to go against that Green Bay defense, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Wow. Okay.
And he gets some goal line touches. I think he may be good for a touchdown. And so I'm gambling with the law firm. Scott?
Oh, sorry, guys. Well, the machine says... The machine has this order for those four. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, number one.
Wow.
Trent Richardson, number two. T.Y. Hilton with a small gap, number three. And Givens way at the bottom, not even close to the other three in that order. Personally, I think you're right with Ben Jarvis. I just think he'll get more touches. I don't want to trust Richardson just quite yet, obviously he's got other options. So I think I would lean Ben Jarvis, but man, is it tight between Richardson and Hilton for me.
Wow, so you way off, and you end up being 3 out of 4, Rick, with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. That's interesting.
That is true. You were on an island.
I'm on the island this time. All right, Rick, we got time for one more before we got to get out of here.
Okay, and we will go to pick two. A full point PPR.
Okay.
Sidney Rice. Emmanuel Sanders. Reuben Randall. Denarius Moore.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
There's a pack of trouble, you know, going back to the chat room there.
Sidney Rice, Emmanuel Sanders, Randall, and Moore, you said?
Yeah, Denarius
Moore. Oh, man. I don't like Emmanuel Sanders. He's the number two guy in a terrible offense going against a fantastic defense. Sidney Rice has probably got the best – he does have the best matchup there, but he's just been invisible to this point. I think Reuben Randall, I work in there the way Giants are throwing the ball around. You know, Denarius Moore – they're going to be trying to keep up with Denver there on Monday night. I might lean Randall and Denarius Moore, but, God, you could talk me out of either one of those.
Oh, I tell you what, that is a pile of mediocrity right there. There's no question about that. I'm going to lean towards you with the Reuben Randle. Look, I'm not crazy about any of these guys, but I having Eli as a starter, I think he's going to be a recipient of quite a few passing yards, so I'll throw him in there. You know, something wants me to take Sidney Rice, but he's just been so underwhelming. Yeah, I think I will gamble with Emmanuel Sanders.
Ooh, wow.
Against Chicago. To me, I guess I would go Randle, Sanders more than Rice.
Well, I don't think Briggs and I should be on the same show anymore because we're agreeing a lot.
Wow, the same.
I also think Sanders in a game that I think Pittsburgh's going to need to pass a lot to stay with Chicago. And I like Sanders there. I like Randle against Carolina because I think Eli Manning's throwing for about 700 yards a game at this point.
Exactly.
So I like that. Rice, I don't think Seattle's going to need to pass a lot against Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's defensive backs are sneaky good. I think they're underrated. And Denarius Moore, I don't like wide receivers against Denver. I mean, they've only allowed one TD through the 2 weeks to wide receivers. And I mean, Terrell Pryor's averaging 175 yards a game. That just not a lot of yardage or TDs to dish out to Moore in that game. So I'm going with Sanders and Randle. The machine has it Denarius Moore and Sidney Rice directly contradicting what I think. So
just a complete flip.
That should be very interesting there.
We're definitely going to go back to this one next week,
yeah,
Rick,
definitely.
And see who gets to be thanked to welcome the people. All right, well, we are over time already. Scott, thanks again for coming on with the machine. Why don't you go ahead and tell them where they can find your work?
You can find me on Twitter at ScottFish24 or at FFOasis. You can find all my stuff at FFOasis.com.
Okay, and I tell you what, thanks for bringing to J.J. Zachariasen's machine. It's contradicting on the last one, and we'll see how that one turns out. But I know it's a good time, and you know, thanks for being on.
All right, Scott, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Rick, so we are out of time. But before we do it, of course, as soon as I hit the button, a question pops up on Twitter. Our boy Carlton Banks, which always makes me giggle on Twitter. So one last question. Of course, just as soon as I hang up on Scott, it comes through. Looking for a flex, doesn't say if it's PPR. Starks, Gresham, or Hartline?
Gresham or Hartline?
Or Starks.
Oh,
James Starks.
Oh, I got to go Hartline on that one.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Starks, nice little game last week. I think it was just one of those freak games where everything was working for Green Bay. So I tend to agree with that. And Hartline starting to creep into a little bit of consistent territory. He really is.
Yes, he is. I'm starting him in a couple of leagues as well.
You know, assuming that Mike Wallace plays, he is questionable, but looking like he's going to go. I think with him stretching the field, it's benefiting Hartline greatly.
Yes, there's no question about that, and I just think he's a pretty good play.
All right, Rick, well, the music came on. That means we have got to get out of here. Thank you for listening to the Inside Slant here at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. We certainly appreciate it. We'll be back Tuesday night on the Blitz to see how we did.
Yes, indeed, and I've got just a crazy week coming up as next Saturday my daughter is getting married, so this week is going to be
horrifying. It's going to be a lot of fun for you this week, and I'm not going to make it easy on you either on Tuesday or at the wedding, which apparently I will be attending. I wasn't aware of that until my wife pointed it out
going.
As I was making my plans to go to the Pitt game next Saturday. She pointed out that in fact there's a wedding I'm going.
Yes, and Scott's in the chat room. Scott and I agree on Hartline along with you. The machine says start.
Oh, of course the machine says. I don't know. I'm not going to get
it. It's just
angry.
Being contrary.
Feels like I do this morning.
Yeah, but thanks, everybody, and good luck in your game.
That's right. At Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasyfootball.com. Check out Scott at FFOasis.com and everywhere else. It's Tuesday night on the Blitz. We'll see you.
Take care.
And pray for me driving to Pittsburgh this afternoon.
Oh, he's a